Danny J.
And I'm Jill Coleman.
Welcome to the Best Life Podcast.
Here, we talk about everything from success, money, relationships and entrepreneurship, to productivity, honest communication, positive psychology, and how to cultivate an abundance mindset.
Make money, travel the world, deepen your relationships, live full out.
This is the best life. It's going to be a 2-second podcast. What is going on, besties? Welcome to another episode of The Best Life.
What's up? This is Danny J.
And this is Jill Coleman. All right. Well, I just threw this topic out to Danny, and I can't believe we actually haven't talked about this before. I know we've talked about other things like should you, you know, can you be friends with an ex? We've talked about things like micro cheating before, but we wanted to ask this question. I saw this on Instagram actually a few months ago. Someone said this. And the question is, can men and women be friends, heterosexual men and women, can they be friends without there being any sort of sexual tension? Like if it, is it purely platonic? Is it always purely platonic? You know, we've kind of heard these terms like, you know, work wife, work husband, thing like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious your take on this. Can heterosexual men and women who are not together, can they be friends? And should they be friends? And are there any parameters if they are?
I would, right before.
I mean, who are in a relationship, I guess. I'll ask you too, but they have to be in a relationship. Of course, if they're single, no issues.
Yeah. So of course, right before you turned it on, I was like, yeah, the answer is women can, men cannot. So.
But something like a true, what's the word? I don't want to say victim of infidelity, but I'm with you.
You know, I've seen a lot of this on social media and some of these little, there's this guy I follow named Will Hutchins, and he does a lot of, what do they call
it? Like spoofs.
Yeah.
Spoofs.
Like he'll
like, oh, he slices in.
Yeah. He responds to it. So he does a lot of these podcasts where these dude bros, you know, give their opinions on what women should be doing with their life and stuff. And a lot of these guys are like, women can't be friends with the man because he wants her, or they go up there. They're like, your girl can't be friends with the dude, mostly because they say because the dude wants her. And that's an interesting take. But they also think a girl's going to cheat and blah, blah, blah. And I think as a female, I have male friends, have many male friends. But then I think of my partner and I'm like, I don't really want him having girlfriends or female friends. But I also do think it depends on the girl, the scenario, how you've been introduced to them, like the whole setup around it. So the real answer is yes, of course, men can have female friends. Women can have male friends, but it can get really tricky. I saw this, maybe it was a Reddit thread. No. The Facebook group, the divorced one I used to make a lot of comments. I don't see it very often, but a girl just posted in there yesterday. She said her guy's got this girlfriend that's a girl, platonic, and they want to go like on a trip together and share a hotel room. And she's like, they said they're not, you know, they're not sexual. They don't have any kind of that kind of relationship. But then she's like, I'm not so sure about the hotel room. And I was like, yeah, no. So I think there's a lot of parameters. And to start, I should say this. If you were friends with this person of the opposite sex before your partner came in, you already have an established friendship. Then when you have the new partner, new relationship, there needs to be an introduction between the three of you so that they can see how your relationship is, like your dynamic. That way you don't have to explain and be like, no, we're good. No, we're not like that. If you can be in front of them both and have a conversation and have like interactions and have this, you know, the interactions, they can see that. But if you're like, hey, I'm going to go see my, like, if I'm saying I'm going to go see my guy friend and I've never introduced this guy friend to my partner, that's going to make your partner feel insecure or some sort of way and think that there's something going on. And if you can't make that introduction, it does make you think that maybe you're leaving it open to possibilities. So that's my like first broad stroke take on that.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like first thing of course is like, you get that hit thinking about it. When you think about your own partner, yeah, you know, having friends that are women, you get that hit of jealousy. I think any human would. But the answer, of course, is yes, it is 100% possible. I'm just thinking about, you know, it is a double standard because I feel like I have friends that are guys that it's never been more than, you know, purely platonic. And I've never once felt the need to justify those relationships to my partner. But my partner also, like to your point, already like does know them. Like I'm thinking about Andy, who was a friend, has been a friend of mine since 2015. And now he works for me, but you know, I've gone to dinner with him and, but he's been around Keith. He's also married. I think that makes a big difference too. I think one of the biggest red flags, if there is a red flag, well, a couple of red flags. Number one, they don't want to introduce you to the person. That's a huge red flag. Cause like, it's just like, why not? Like let's, this is someone you're spending time with. Even if it's a quote unquote work girlfriend or work boyfriend or work wife, work husband, like at some point everyone should be together. If they have a spouse or they have a partner, like at some point there should be a moment in time where it's like, I'm spending a lot of time with this person, you know? So a red flag would be if they don't want to introduce you or they don't want to bring you to something where that person is going to be there because they are sort of protecting the possibility of that. They have this, I think we've talked about this before. There's this concept of back burner relationships, which is this idea that you don't want to be with a person because you are with someone and you are faithful to the person that you're with. But there's that person in the back of your mind who's like, if I was single, this person maybe would be someone that I would be interested in. And I think we all have that person or a couple of people even that we don't actually want to be with. In fact, we don't even really maybe know what they're doing. Maybe someone from high school or college or that one who got away or something. And maybe you see their posts on social and you just throw a like their way or something like that. So this idea that you're sort of like keeping, just staying top of mind or being like on that person's radar. So, I mean, there is sort of something like that. That's a red flag would be if the person doesn't want to introduce you or doesn't want you to be around them in the same place. The second red flag would be if they don't talk about the person, like say they like just met the person and it's a work person they know or whatever. They met someone, I'm trying to think of like with Keith would be an example. I met someone at volleyball or something like that. And is talking about the person, like to me, oh, this person's from so-and-so or I met whatever. And then they don't talk about them anymore. To me, that would be a red flag. Like, I feel like if they're talking about them a lot, then there is nothing there. It's like, oh, like it's kind of platonic. I feel like the bigger red flag is if they aren't talking about the person. I'm like, wait, you see this person every day at work. You have a cubicle right next to them. And like, yet you've never, you don't really, at one point you were talking about them quite a bit when you met them or whatever. Yeah. Now you're not. That to me would be suspicious. And this is a hard conversation to have because, you know, I think we don't want to be hypervigilant. So I don't want to be like, if this, then that, and this, then that. But also there is to me a larger conversation around, and this is where like, I'm not there yet, but this is where I want to be, which is my partner can be friends with anyone, anytime, anywhere. And if he wants to be with someone else romantically, then I'm okay with that. I'm going to be devastated, obviously, but I don't want to be with him if he doesn't want to be with me. The problem is that oftentimes we don't know until after the fact, you know? And so that's the thing too, is like, I think all of us can intellectually say, look, if the person I'm with wants to be with someone else, like whether it's a friend, someone who started off as a friend and then feelings grow, cool. Like, look, I don't want to be with you if you don't want to be with me, if you'd rather be with someone else. The problem I feel like, and I heard this term yesterday, I was listening to an episode, a podcast episode, and they were interviewing that guy, Mackin Murphy. I don't know if you've seen that. I think I shared that with you. He was on Lewis Howe's podcast and he was on Chris Williamson's podcast. He's this young guy who does a lot of research around relationships. And he called it, I forget what he called it, but he was like, a lot of people don't leave their current partner until they have the next partner like ready to go. It's kind of like, and he goes, it's kind of, monkey bars, right? He's like, you wouldn't leave a job until you had your next job lined up. It's kind of the same thing. And more people are sort of doing this. And I think for me and you, especially what we've been through with infidelity, that's the scariest part is like, I'm going to be that person who you're just with, but you don't want to be with until you are able to make the jump to the next person. And that feels like your autonomy is taken away, especially for people like me and you. And I feel like for most people who have gone through infidelity and gone through that massive betrayal, it's not even about the sex. It's not even about anything. It's more about the betrayal of feeling like I was just this fucking idiot who was just sitting here, like trying to make the relationship work while you were like completely a 1 foot out, 2 feet out. And so that's really, I think the biggest fear is like, am I just that person who's a placeholder and you're actually really interested in someone else, but you're not letting me go before you move on to the next person. So I think all of that, we talk about jealousy. I think it's more of that. It's not that I'm not good enough. I think in my 40s, I've kind of gotten over the fact that like, I'm not going to be everyone's cup of tea. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be, you know, the sexiest, the hottest, the whatever. I'm just like, I'm not trying to compete on that level. I think the scariest thing is if the person you're with does have a friend of the opposite sex, you kind of go like, God, if they do want to be with that person, I don't want to be in the dark. Yeah. And I think for me, that's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah. Everything on that. I think that is one of the biggest things. It's just not wanting to feel like a fool again. And just waiting.
Well, like you're wasting your fucking time. Like that's, it's huge. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm definitely not to cut you off. But like, I think once I hit 40, for whatever reason, I'm literally like, I can't waste any fucking time. Yeah. Like if this is not the best relationship, like ever, what am I doing? Like, I literally feel like maybe the next person I'm supposed to be with, or the person I'm really supposed to be with, is out there. Yeah. And I'm like wasting my time in a situation that's not ideal. So I think that's, I've gotten way more, around like time wasting too. Like, I'm just like, I don't want to wait to like figure it out. Like, this is a no, it's a no, let's go.
No, I think I've been recently triggered in that, you know, I shared that I found out my ex was getting remarried, and that was a trigger for me because he was with someone for 4 years and did not marry her. He was someone completely out of the blue 6 months later. And I was like, damn, I felt a way for that girl who was with him the last 4 years. So I'm like, shit, can you imagine? She must have felt like she was wasting, or she wasted the last 4 years of her life. And that's really something kind of scary to think about. I want to actually go back to what you said about a red flag, which I can see this from your perspective. And I can also see it from a perspective of that's a wounded person talking. So let's say they're coming home and they're talking about this person all the time, and then they stop. There could be another reason why they stop. And this is one reason why I could feel like someone might stop, is if every time they talk about them, you, not just saying you, but you, the listener, is always asking like, well, what did she say? What'd she do? Like, if you're already like, if you're already giving an insecure kind of jealous vibe every time he mentions this person. So he decides, I'm not going to talk about her anymore because I don't like the weirdness that it brings up. So now I'm just going to make the conversation different. So yes, for you, then it might just feed into the belief already that there's something there. Like, no, you're not talking about her anymore. So something's happening. While he's like, no, I'm not talking about her anymore because every time I did, you were fucking weird about it. So I just feel like I can't. So I think it could create some issues. And also, the guy you're talking about, I think this is the same guy. He said that there was an anecdotal woman.
Yeah.
Yep. He said like she got accused so many times of cheating that she finally was like, fuck it, I'll do it. I just did. So we also have to be careful of how we are with our partners, especially at work. Work is a tricky one because you do hang out with people a lot. So let's say there's someone at work that they're constantly hanging out with, they're talking about. And if you're consistently like, you're fucking her, aren't you? Or you're hooking up with him, aren't you? Or he likes you. It's like, well, if you do that enough times, it might just be like, yeah, I will. And I was that teenager. My mom accused me so much of getting high that I finally did. I was like, well, I haven't even smoked weed, but I might as well try now because I've already got so many times. I've been so accused that I might as well like actually do the thing. So we do also have to be careful. So yes, it could be a red flag if they do stop talking about them, but it also could be that we were giving off this insecure vibe every time they did bring the person up, that it shut them down. So it's like looking, being self-aware enough to see what happened and if you caused that shutdown, or if you were having open conversation and it was cool and you weren't bothered, then if they stop talking out of the blue, you're like, maybe there is something to be concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. It's, you know, and it's also because then it's like, I completely see where you're coming from. And even as I was saying it, I was like, I can tell this is from someone who's already suspicious, like would be saying this.
Yeah.
But then I go, but if it really is platonic, then they should be like, Jill, suck it up. Like, I don't know what to tell you. You're being insecure as fuck right now. Like, they should call me out, you know, and be like, because then I'm just like, oh, then it makes me feel silly for being insecure. You know, it's like, I think that's the thing is I totally get what you're saying, where you're like, they can shut down because they feel like they're in trouble if they do talk about it. But then that's where I need the person to step up and like prove to me that it's so platonic that they're not going to stop talking. Cause they're just like, I don't tell you, this is a friend of mine. Like, what do you need to see? Do you need to look at? I mean, I will say, I think this is something that you did maybe a year or two ago. And I think this was really, It was just a very nice, not that you had to, but it was a really nice gesture, because I know you and your partner have both come from infidelity, both being like victims of infidelity. And so you guys kind of share that in a way. So both of you kind of came in with a similar, you know, feeling of not wanting to, you know, be cheated on again. And you do have a lot of guy friends and that are purely platonic, and you've just met over the years. And obviously you have a lot of female friends too. And I remember Jeff was out of town, and one of these guys was coming into town, and he was like, "Hey, do you want to grab lunch?" And he said, "You and Jeff, do you and Jeff want to grab lunch?" And you were like, "Well, Jeff's not here." And you were like, "But I'll definitely go to lunch." And I think you shared it with Jeff. So-and-so is going to be in town. We're going to go to lunch. And you actually took screenshots of the conversation and sent them to Jeff. Jeff didn't ask. And he was also like, "I don't need to see these," but you were like, "I just feel better showing you. Just so you know." And I feel like that's a really nice, especially for someone who has been through infidelity. I think that's really important, you know, and it's important that Jeff didn't have to ask for that. I think that's oftentimes where we start to feel like I'm fucking crazy. Like, so I think the fact that you preemptively did that was just really nice. And it just really showed a level of thoughtfulness that many people don't. Most people are just like, "I don't tell you, it's fucking platonic, like deal with your shit." But I think for you, you just, and Jeff was totally fine with it, but I think it was a nice extra layer of safety. And I just feel like that was, especially for those folks who have been through. The other thing that Mac and Murphy said was actually some psychologist, because so many people who've been through infidelity have been on the receiving end of like unfaithfulness, because their symptoms are so similar to PTSD. There's something now called PISD. It's post-infidelity stress disorder, because so like a lot of therapists are actually using that now because the symptoms are so similar. And so I just think that with someone who has been through infidelity, if you're with someone who has been through, it's important that you, you know, like that maybe you look at that, or maybe you think that they need maybe one extra layer of, you know, what's the word? Just affirmation.
Affirmation. PISD, it kind of feels validating, like, oh, there's a name for it, because it feels like such a real traumatic experience. I also do want to say, though, what could be really tricky for someone who's been, and you and I haven't shared this experience at all, but someone who's been in a narcissistic relationship where somebody's constantly gaslighting you. Yeah. So when you were saying, "Hey, it's platonic, I don't know what to tell you," if that's true, it's true, but there's going to be fucking narcissistic liars who say it flat out like that, and they're fucking lying to your face. So there's so much fucking nuance. And it's like, because if you've been that person, you're like, I don't know if, like, my ex-partner would lie straight to my face, say, "I'm not cheating on you," and he fucking was, right? So, man, it's really complicated, which is why I think having the female-male friendship has to be like, there's got to be introduction. There needs to be maybe, "Hey, we're going out to coffee. Would you like to come?" At least the invitation that you be there. It has to be more inclusive. So I think, yes, you can have it, but as inclusive as possible, whether showing the conversation, being invited to it. But if you're constantly doing some like one-off stuff with your guy friend and or his girlfriend, it starts to raise some suspicions and concerns that are valid, whether you've been in cheated on or in a narcissistic relationship, because I think both of those could really mind fuck you, and to make you, which is also why I see some of these podcasts where like, it's not possible. They can't happen. Men and women can't be friends, because I think someone's been hurt so bad. They're like, "Nope, it's never going to happen to me again. I'm putting my foot in the ground." But you and I both have healthy relationships with males. We know that our partners can have healthy relationships with females. The friends with our male friends have other girlfriends. I'm not jealous of those girlfriends, but you have to know yourself. And I think the inclusivity is really, really the key piece, is everybody needs to be included on either what's happening, where you're going, how you spent your time. And then like after enough time, you don't have to do that all the time. After enough times, like you hanging out with Andy, you don't have to send text to Keith every time you hang out with Andy. Like, he knows Andy, y'all are cool, you work together. But, you know, maybe at the beginning, when you're first meeting, or if there's a new person, let's just say a new work person comes, like you've been married for 20 years and a new girl comes in at work to your husband's work, there maybe needs to be some inclusiveness for a little while until you know the chick and you're like, "Yeah, she's fine. She's good. Like, we're all good," you know? And actually back to, I think a few episodes ago when I shared that I saw that girl, she was really pretty. And I was like, they hired her. And so I haven't met her still. They met her. And I haven't felt any way about it. Like, cause I see her posts and she's sharing stuff about her marriage all the time, but I do think about it. I'm like, if she was a single girl, I don't know how.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you. Would it make a difference if the person was like, I'm just trying to think about a scenario. Like, I can't even imagine this, but yeah. Like you're in a long-term relationship, like you or me, whether you're married or just in a long-term relationship. And then all of a sudden your partner starts like going to coffee dates with, or going just like out to coffee with a single woman. Yeah. Like, I can't even imagine that happening. Really. I'd be like, what, why?
Yeah. Right.
No way. You know what I mean? There's no, yeah. Like, I mean, it's not that it can't happen, you know, and again, maybe this is just through the lens of some women who have been through some stuff and are really insecure, but I'd be interested if you're listening to this and, you know, your significant other has friends of the opposite sex and like how that sort of shakes out. It's just weird. Like to think like you're living with somebody, you've built a life with somebody, you know, all of their friends, they know all of your friends, you know, their family, they know your family. And then all of a sudden you just like, you know, Keith barely goes to coffee with guy friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd be like, or if he does, it's maybe like, I'm going to go surfing with them, or I'm going to play basketball, or I'm going to do something physical. So I would be like, yeah, why are you going on a coffee date with a single woman? Totally. Like, did you meet the person on Tinder? Like, it would be like, how do you know this person? Even that, right? Like, how do you know this person? You know, I mean, because you're like, I know they're. So like, that's the thing with Jeff, like, you know, all the parts of his life too. You know, yeah. I'm thinking about if you're in a long-term relationship, you know who they're working with, you know, like where they go most of the time. You probably know their daily schedule by heart. You could say like any time of day, you know what they're doing or where they're at. Yeah. So it would be a little bit jarring, I feel like, to all of a sudden have a friend of the opposite sex pop out from nowhere.
Yeah.
Because yeah. Like chances are you would know them too, right? I guess that's the thing, is like, that's why, to your point, did this person, was it a relationship they had before they met you, or mm-hmm. is it a new person? Because I feel like if it's a new person, chances are you might meet them together. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, long and short answer of this episode is I believe it's possible to have friends of the opposite sex, especially, you know, maintaining friendships for a long time. You know somebody for years. I think it's very bizarre when someone is dating, like say they just met and they want, I think this is a red flag, is if you're dating someone new and they want you to cut off relationships you've had 20 years or somebody with sex, like that's a different side of insecurity, and
totally
borderline narcissistic and abusive to cut off people that you have good long-term relationships with. But I do think that when you bring in someone new, you're sharing your life with them and you're sharing your friends, and it should be easy enough to say like, hey, this has been my guy friend for, you know, X number of years and would love for you to meet him, or he's saying he'd love for you to meet her. And there's a way that you guys can all like interact together, so you know, and you're not sitting there stressed and insecure. And to your point as well, if you've been through infidelity, I was going to say, if you've been through insecurity, also that, but if you've been through infidelity, you know, to have those extra layers or to ask for that, I don't think is wrong to ask for, like, hey, I would just like to see the messages, or I would just like to know a little bit more so I can feel calm. I think that's a fair thing to ask. And it's not to say you need it forever, but just to help your nervous system learn to re-regulate and learn to trust again. I think that's a big piece of healing through infidelity and trust issues, is having someone who's willing to take those baby steps with you so that you can learn to trust again. It's not so easy to just say like, well, just, I'm not the same person. I'm not the same guy. I didn't do it to you. Don't punish me. Like, true. But also I'm stuck with these wounds, with this PISD or whatever the fuck it is. And you have to figure out how to work it out. Either that or you don't, and you're just insecure your whole life and you point fingers at everybody and think everyone's a cheater. And that's not really the best way to live either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, this really could have been a really fast episode. And I think for like most people who are listening to this podcast, who want to become the best version of themselves, I mean, I think Danny and I would love to come on here and be like, yes, of course, every situation, totally fine. Like, I think ultimately, you know, so when you hear these sound bites and it's a reel that's like 7 seconds and someone's asking you, hey, can men and women be friends? And person's like, of course they can. Like, if you don't think they can, then, you know, you just don't trust your partner. And it's like, yeah, that's a nice like ideal. And I think we're all working towards that. I just think that it's much more complicated than just that, especially for people who have been in established relationships or for people who have been through infidelity or betrayals of some kind. And so I just feel like I wanted to have this a little bit of a more nuanced conversation around this, because again, I think ultimately that's what we're all working towards, is just having this complete security 100% of the time, all the time in every scenario. I just don't know that that's necessarily the truth of the matter in all cases. So anyway, I think it's a good reminder. And it's also, it's important to have these just conversations, these real conversations, and ultimately know where we're trying to get to as we're working through it.
I love it. All right, y'all. I'm going to go break up with all my boyfriends.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to actually, I was going to say one last thing is, I know this is a common thing that maybe women will have their guys unfollow every chick on Instagram. So that's right now, that could be a whole other episode actually, but
that is, that could be,
but anyway, I'm going to go do that. Jeff has to unfollow everybody.
All right, y'all. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye guys.